Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we're in the study of Daniel, part two of the studies that included chapter 7 through 12. And we are now coming to the close of the study. And today we are studying chapters 11 and 12. And we're going to review some of the other chapters and try to get it all brought together so that we can have an understanding of what God is saying as he spoke to Daniel to write down the book of Daniel. So let us begin our study in prayer. Heavenly Father, we call on you because you are God Almighty. And Father, we need you to teach us and guide us and give us the wisdom and knowledge to understand your truths. And we're so thankful that you inspired Daniel to write down your truths. And we're so thankful we have the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us and give us understanding. So we look now, as we look into your word, for understanding through your Holy Spirit. Just teach us, guide us, and direct us. And may you get all the honor and glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Now, as we close out the book of Daniel, we need to look back and see what we have learned about God. That he is holy and righteous, and that he is sovereign over all. And we saw that as we've studied through all of these chapters in the book of Daniel. So let's go back to the beginning and just pick up a little bit, going back to about 605 B.C. That's when Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, and the people of Judah were taken into exile by King Nebuchadnezzar. And so there were three stages of this capture in 605 B.C. and 597 B.C. and 586 B.C. So Israel was destroyed and exiled because of the rebellion that they had against God. They began to worship idols, and they rebelled against God. And of course, he had to bring judgment. And in Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7, we studied about the four kingdoms that were to rule over Israel. And that was the kingdom of Babylon, the Medo-Persian, and Greece. And the fourth, we have learned from history, was Rome. Now, we need to identify the kings in Daniel 8, 11, and let's do that because this is how that we're going to put all of this together. So we want to see the relationship between the chapters as God had it written down. So we studied in chapter 8 of Daniel about the little horn or the king that came out of the nation that was called the Little Horn. That was the kingdom of Daniel in chapter 2 and 7. So the king of Daniel in chapter 8 came from the third kingdom, which was Greece. And it was divided into four. And then one of them produced the king, this king. So the fourth king from Greece was one of the four generals of Alexander the Great. And you remember the study that we did in chapter 8. Now, history shows that this horn, that little horn that came out, to be Antiochus Epiphanes. And Daniel 8 taught us that he grew exceedingly great toward the south, the east, and toward the beautiful land, which represented Israel. And he removed the regular sacrifice, and Israel was given into his hand because of transgression. So God was and is in control of the affairs of mankind, especially Israel, as we see in our study. So here in chapter 8, verse 14, the regular sacrifice was stopped. And then the scripture said, for 2,300 evenings and mornings later, the holy place was restored or vindicated. And this was a time that the Judah Maccabees, if you study back into history and into the Bible, it was a rising up of the Maccabees to fight against Israel. So the temple was cleansed, and the feast of the dedication was inaugurated, and that was called Hanukkah. And also it was called the Feast of Lights. And that starts on the 25th of Kislev, Kislev. That was the calendar of the Jews. And which it became later in November to late December. Now, in Daniel 8, 17 through 19, we learned that the vision of the king, which was the horn, pertaining to the time of the end and will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. And then in chapter 8:27, it says that there was none to explain the vision to Daniel, and he was astounded at the vision. But God spoke and told him that his holy place would again be defiled. So the vision of Daniel 8 was in the third year of Belshazzar's reign of Babylon. And Daniel had the dream in chapter 7 2 years earlier, as we studied in chapter 7. And then in the first year of Darius, which was about 11 years after Daniel 8, God told Daniel what would happen to his people and the city. And that was in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24-47. And then later, 2 years later, that was the third year of Cyrus, Daniel received the final vision and exclamation that was in chapters 10 and 12 of what would happen to his people and to the city in future. Now let's look at some verses in chapter 11. And let's see if we can kind of put this all together. There's a lot to try to decipher and put together to get understanding. But we just pray for the Holy Spirit to help us understand all of this. And I'm going to read verses 21 through 35. And then we'll look at that and see what king was in rule there, what was taking place. Verse 21 of chapter 11. In his place, a despicable person will arise on whom the honor of kingship has not been conferred, but he will come in a time of tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue. The overflowing forces will be flooded away before him and shattered, and also the prince of the covenant. After an alliance is made with him, he will practice deception, and he will go up and gain power with a small force of people. In a time of tranquility, he will enter the richest parts of the realm, and he will accomplish what his fathers never did, nor his ancestors. He will distribute plunder, booty, and possessions among them, and he will devise his schemes against strongholds, but only for a time. He will stir up his strength and courage against the king of the south with a large army, so the king of the south will mobilize an extremely large and mighty army for war, but he will not stand, for schemes will be devised against him. Those who eat his choice food will destroy him, and his army will overflow, but many will fall down. As for both kings, their hearts will be intent on evil, and they will speak lies to each other at the same table, but it will not succeed, for the end is still to come at the appointed time. And then he will return to his land with much plunder, but his heart will be set against the holy covenant, and he will take action, and then return to his own land. At the appointed time he will return and come into the south, but this last time it will not turn out the way it did before, for ships of Kittim will come against him, and therefore he will be disheartened and will return and become enraged at the holy covenant and take action. So he will come back and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant. Forces from him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice, and they will set up the abomination of desolation. By smooth words he will turn to godlessness those who act wickedly toward the covenant, but the people who know their God will display strength and take action. And those who have insight among the people will give understanding to the many, yet they will fall by sword and by flame, by captivity, by plunder for many days. Now when they fall, they will be granted a little help, and many will join with them in hypocrisy. And some of those who have insight will fall in order to refine, purge, and make them pure until the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. Now, what are these verses talking about, and who is this king? The despicable person in chapter 8, excuse me, was the king of the north. And we learned in that chapter that it was Antiochus Epiphanes. And so that's what we're seeing here in these verses. He came from the Greek kingdom. He was one of the four that came from Alexander the Great. And in the latter period of their rule, when the transgressions had run their course, that was in chapter 8:23, the transgressors were Jews who transgressed God's law. So the time of their transgressions had ended, and the time for the Lord's judgment had come. So he, Antiochus, was the king of Syria, that was the king of the north, and he came during a time of tranquility to take the kingdom by intrigue. and his heart was set against Israel, and his forces desecrated the sanctuary, the fortress, and did away with the regular sacrifices. And here is where he set up the abomination of desolation. Now, verse 35 says that it was not the end time, because it is still to come at the appointed time. So let's read verses 36 through 43 and see how this compares back to what we studied in Daniel 7. Starting at verse 36 of chapter 11. And then the king will do as he pleases, and he will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods, and he will prosper until the indignation is finished. For that which is decreed will be done, and he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers or for the desire of women, nor will he show regard for any other god, for he will magnify himself above them all. But instead, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god whom his fathers did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and treasures. He will take action against the strongest of fortresses with the help of a foreign god, and he will give great honor to those who acknowledge him, and will cause them to rule over the many, and will parcel out land for a price. And then verse 40 says, at the end time, the king of the south will collide with him, and the king of the north will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, and with many ships, and he will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through. He will also enter the promised land, which is Israel, Jerusalem, and many countries will fall, but these will be rescued out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. And then he will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape, but he will gain control over the hidden treasures of gold, silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and Libyans and Ethiopians will follow at his heels. But rumors from the east and from the north will disturb him, and he will go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate many. And he will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas and the holy, beautiful, holy mountains. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. So let's see what these verses are saying. Here we see, this is in chapter 7, that it's talking about the fourth beast. In verse 36 through 43, we say, seeing in chapter 7, it said, then at the appointed time, appointed end time, the king, Daniel 7, that's the fourth beast, he will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and speak monstrous things against the God of gods. He will prosper until the indignation is finished. Now, the indignation is referring to God's wrath, his anger. So, looking at 2 Thessalonians 2, and that's chapter 2, and Revelation chapter 12 and 13, we see that in these books, the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God, and he says that he is God. Now, he takes his seat in the temple, and that's called the abomination of desolation. His reign is in accord with the activity of Satan, which we learned was the dragon and the beast, and the beast we know is the Antichrist. And we referred to Revelation chapter 12 and chapter 13. But he's going to come to his end when the Lord is going to slay him with the breath of his mouth at his second coming. And he is the last horn, the last king of Daniel 7. Now the saints of Daniel's people at that time will be given into his hand for a period of 3.5 years before the second coming of Christ. So, from the time that he sets up the abomination of desolation, there will be 1,290 days. And those who attain to the 1,335 days will be blessed. And we find that in Daniel chapter 12. We'll get to that in a few minutes. There's a time difference. The 1,290 days represents 3.5 years. But here it's mentioning 1,335 days. And the difference in that is 45 days. And that's going to be the time of when Christ comes to set up his rule of the millennium reign. That's going to be 45 days from the time of the end of tribulation. Here, it's a time of difference, the time of judging, and the time of receiving rewards. So, let's look now at Daniel chapter 12. And I want to read this first verse in chapter 12. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. So it's a time of purging the Jews. So it says at that time, it's the time of the last king in Daniel chapter 11. And Michael, the angel of God, called here the great prince, will arise. And there's going to be a time of distress that's never been. And Daniel's people, whose names are in the book, will be rescued. This is going to be the last 3.5 years of the tribulation when the saints are given into the hand of the Antichrist, the last king before Christ comes. And Daniel asked how long that it would be until the end of these things. And the answer was for 3.5 times as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people. And these holy people will be Jews, Daniel's people. And many of them will be purged. They'll be purified and refined. In other words, they'll be saved. But the wicked will face everlasting contempt. And so we talked about that time between the end of the 3.5 years until the millennium is going to be a time of judging and a time of receiving rewards. Now, to look at this, to understand, it's necessary for us to look at some more scriptures. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, we see in this chapter the disciples had asked Christ before he went away to explain to him what signs that would be of the times and the end of the age. And I'm just going to read a few verses here in Matthew 24:15 and some in Matthew 25. In Matthew 24:15 it says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." So he's saying that when this abomination of a desolation, it's going to come, there's going to be a great tribulation, and then the Son of Man will come. So let's look at verse 21. "For there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be." So here he's saying that according to Matthew 25:31, let's quickly look at Matthew 25:31 and see what he is saying in this verse. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory." So here he is saying in Matthew 25 that Jesus himself is going to sit on his throne. And that relates back to what we studied in Daniel chapter 2. "And all nations, including Israel, will come before him for judgment." And some refer to this as the judgment of the nations. And this judgment will be according to how they treated Israel during the great tribulation in that time of distress for Daniel's people, the time of the shattering of the holy people. And Jesus said if they took care of his brethren during this time, then they take care of him. In other words, if they're taking care of God's people, then they're taking care of Jesus himself. So, now then, let's look and see. This kingdom then will be those of Israel who, like Daniel, will rise to everlasting life, and also those of the nations who are righteous. Now, I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but I'm going to read some more in Revelation, if you want to write this down. Chapter 20, verse 4. In chapter 20, verse 4, this is John the Revelator, and he was given the revelation of the book of Revelation of the end time. And this is what he says in verse 4 of 20. "I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those that had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads and on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So here we see that these that are faithful then are going to live and reign with Christ in the millennial reign. In the kingdom of God, they will reign for 1,000 years on the earth. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 through 29. And let's see, read some scripture here. Starting with verse 26 of chapter 2. And he who overcomes and keeps my words until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like potter's vessels. I also have received from my Father, as I have also received from my Father, I will give him the morning star. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians and let's see what the Scripture is saying in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Let's see if I can find this quickly. And chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And verse 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So we see here that Jesus in the book of Revelation is one of Jesus' messages to the churches, and it's still a message to us today. And overcomers, those that have faith in Christ, will be given authority or rule over the nations. And Corinthians says that saints, Christians, will judge the world. So in God's kingdom, the church will rule over the nations. The righteous will enter the kingdom. Those who believe during the last 3.5 years will also reign during the 1,000-year kingdom on earth. Now, I'm not going to read these verses. It's lengthy, but I'm going to give them to you so that you can later go back and read. If you'll write them down, and then I'm just going to try to briefly explain what the verses are saying. Write down Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. Here in Matthew, in the verses 14 to 30, it tells us that only the faithful will be put in charge of many things during the time of the earthly kingdom. So the wicked will end up in outer darkness, eternal contempt, everlasting punishment. And then Jesus explains in the parable that it would not occur until he returns. And then he will give authority to the faithful of Israel over 10 cities, 5 cities, and so forth. And he will take from the faithless the things they have. That was the parable he gave in Luke 19. His enemies who didn't want him to reign over him will be slain in his very presence. So at the last 45 days, that's the time that we talked about, that's for setting up the rule of the millennial. So let's just look now a little bit at Matthew 16:27. And I want to read these verses. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Now, if we go to Revelation 22:13, we see again how that God is going to reward those that serve him and believe in his name. So Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." So here we see that when Jesus comes, he will repay every man according to his deeds. And this applies to the wicked as well as the righteous. They'll be repaid in the condemnation that God will pour out against them. Now, in the book of Luke, in chapter 6, verse 3, I'm going to read that verse. I'm sorry, it's verse 23 of Luke chapter 6. And here again we see, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy." Now this is a word of Christ himself. He says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." And in the book of Revelation, one more time, let's look at chapter 11, verse 18. "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Now, as we have come to the close of our study in Daniel, what has it done? What has it inspired into each of us? Are we inspired to be a Daniel? Are we inspired to set our hearts or purpose in our hearts, as Daniel did, to be faithful to God throughout our lives, to be more faithful to him, the Almighty God, to be a person that is highly esteemed, as Daniel was highly esteemed in the eyes of the Lord? Have we learned more about God Almighty, and that he is supreme and sovereign over all? I do pray that each of us, through this study, have been brought closer to God Almighty and to his Son Jesus, and that we are inspired through his word to go out now into all the world and be a light and a witness to all that we come in contact with, that they too may come to know Jesus. And when this end time comes, and we know in the word that the time is coming, we're living in the church age, and the next step, according to God's word, is going to be the rapture, when Jesus will rapture the church, all believers, up to be with him in heaven. And at that time, then the great tribulation or the tribulation will begin. The first 3.5 years is going to be declared by the Antichrist that'll come forth at that time to be a time of peace. And at the end of that time, he is going to remove that promise that he makes, that oath or decree that he signs. He's going to break that, and it's going to be a time of great tribulation. But we know that when Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, that we have the blood of Christ that is over us, that took away our sins, that paid our debt in full. And because of that, we won't have to face the wrath or the time of tribulation. But we need to live our lives before all our loved ones, our friends, our families, our neighbors, and everyone, and tell them that they need to believe now upon the name of Jesus and accept him as their Lord and Savior, and not wait to go through the time of tribulation. They may not even have that opportunity. Anyone can be taken before that time. That day and hour, no one knows except the Father. So I pray now that God will use each of us to bring him honor and glory. So we will close out this study now in the book of Daniel, and we'll close in prayer. Father, we can't begin to praise you and thank you enough for the great, almighty, sovereign God that you are. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that even in the very beginning, before time, that you loved us. And Father, that you made a way for us through your Son, Jesus. You brought salvation even before we were born, but we had that choice, and still today many have that choice to believe upon your word, upon the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that anyone that has studied this, anyone that has listened to your word, if they've never received Jesus, that now is the time of salvation, and they will surrender their lives to you, Father, at this time, because, Father, they may not ever have another opportunity. But, Father, just use each of us now, as you have given us your word, to glorify your name. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.